This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope.
Last night at 12:30 in the morning, I ate a can of mushrooms.
I did.
Pieces and stems, if you're wondering. As opposed to buttons, it was pieces and stems, which will be my next year's fantasy football team name.
Pieces and stems.
Pieces and stems.
And the Bulldog.
I should be ashamed to admit this publicly, but whatever. How long have we been doing this? I'm a junkie. I can't be trusted.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
You know what? I think it could be a fair question. I think I want to ask the question. What if instead of Eric Staal being named... I just caught how I even said it. How did I say it? Eric Staal, right? How did I say it? Just like sort of... What if instead of Eric Staal being named assistant to the general manager of the Sabres, it was like Michael Pekka? Does it matter who the guy is here?
Aesthetically, which leads to your emotions, yes, it does.
Should it?
No. No, Michael Pekka would... Well, I mean, he's been working on the bench. He was in Rochester, now he's in New York as an assistant coach. So he's been in off-ice hockey jobs for a while here, where Staal, to my knowledge, has not. So he'd at least have had some background in the field, more so than Staal has. But really, I don't think I'd feel any different about the potential of it working than I do. And that's not to say that I'm entirely pessimistic about Eric Staal having any kind of a positive effect on the organization. He very well might, just like Michael Pekka might have. But he's not from here. He's not one of ours. He wasn't Captain Crunch during the 99 Cup final. And more so, he kept the Sabres, or helped keep the Sabres from getting to the final in 2006. So he's almost a villain kind of role here. And
I haven't decided yet whether I should care about that.
That leaves a taste in your mouth.
If it had been Pekka or any once popular Saber, it doesn't have to be him. I just know he's in the business kind of. But if any popular Sabres player had been named to this position, I think I would have been critical because it just would have seemed cheap. Like,
mm-hmm.
The team is mired in this seemingly endless playoff drought. All right, sure, we're going to like this because we liked him on the ice. And his credentials might be the same. What are Eric Staal's? Only that he played in the league a long time. Like, really.
More recently than Pekka, but yeah.
Yeah, right. But he has no experience, you know. This is his first job, right, in hockey.
I believe that's retirement. Pekka's had, you know, a few different stops already, but sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, not even Pekka, just whoever else could be.
All right.
I mean, Drury and Briere are both GMs.
So is Mike Greer.
So is Mike Greer. Right. They're all GMs. Brian Campbell, whoever.
I did think of Pekka It's funny that you would mention him specifically in this, because it was right when, you know how bullish I've been on Paterka, right? He's going to be their best player, leading scorer, all that. The genesis of that is Pekka talking about him when he was in Rochester for me. I remember Pekka talking about him, and I remember my reaction being, the player he's describing here sounds like Nikita Kucherov. And so I got pretty excited about that. And, you know, that's we're nowhere near that, okay, just to close that part of the conversation. But Pekka, the fact that it is Stahl and that can you can choose whether to be aggravated about it or not, I guess, or maybe not. Maybe it just is obvious you're going to be at least somewhat aggravated when you hear his name. Not because he played 32 games here in a lost COVID season for the Sabres, although that was kind of annoying, too, that he was ever even here.
Was it?
Yeah.
They shouldn't have signed him then either, because...
What are we doing here? Like, what? He got traded here. His family didn't want to come. Like, it was a whole thing. So, whatever. That's not something... I don't bring up the family to hold that against him. I mean, it was arduous, it seemed, for him to get here in the first place. And now he's back in this, you know, whatever capacity here, helping... fix the hockey team, I guess. That's somewhere in the job description, I think, right? But Pekka came to mind. Like, it's another example of a guy that ties to the organization, captain, player, and I can't say he couldn't wait to get out of here, but they couldn't find a spot for him that would satisfy whatever his aspirations were at the time. And he went to New York to do that, and we'll see where it goes from there. But it's another dude that, like, if he'd stayed in the organization, I don't know, maybe he'd be actually helping.
I just want to be able to, if it's possible, evaluate the people on their merits. You know, assistant GM, GM, coach, assistant coach, and... I don't know. Like, I find that challenging. It's easy to make a judgment based on how you thought of them as players. Even if Eric Staal wasn't on that Carolina team, or that didn't happen, you know, still he was some. Maybe that's all the difference. You know, he was just a very good player on the Hurricanes for a long time. You know, if you don't have that one series, okay. Well, I think he might. I think I might like this idea. Saying all this, the frustration is more just like, what does the assistant to the GM do? Like, what is this? Does this really count as change?
Right. Is it going to move the meter at all?
That's like the bigger point.
Yes.
But who the guy is, it's funny. Because I do say over the years, I've said many times, like, because people will call and want Frank Reich to be the Bills offensive coordinator or something, like before he even got into coaching maybe. And like, you know, do we really need to pick somebody just because he was a Bill? Like, do we really need to do that? And I was pushed back against that. And here, shouldn't I like this, Ben? Shouldn't I like that picked a player? It's really more because of Adams. And this is also a little bit of a dilemma, because Adams and Staal were teammates. And he also traded for him, right? Like that was that Adams, you know,
yes.
5 years ago?
Yep.
So they've got a connection. Shouldn't you want that? Shouldn't you want the GM's assistant to be somebody he can trust and feels good about working with? Like,
yes.
That's not a negative. So I don't know. The bigger thing and the bigger thing could still change. It's just that, like, the season ended weeks ago and some teams just like get right on it. And the Sabres seem to do this.
Yeah.
Quintessentially when they announced Botterill was staying and then fired him later before the next season started.
Right.
Like just I don't know.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel like it's a sharp operation.
I do think it's absolutely correct in my experience that – and look, I don't know that this would be 10 people calling us. It would definitely be social media. There'd be more Michael Pekka. God, that he knows what's up. Just because you like him. You had his jersey, you watched him crunch, you know, whatever, all of it, you know, his career. Which, again, is another captain that got sent away because, you know, the relationship soured. And, you know, congratulations on that. It's like a long list. You have to have it end that way if you're a Sabres captain. That's just how it usually goes. Although I guess Oposo wasn't that bitter, but he did get traded at the end to go somewhere else and go win the Stanley Cup. Congratulations. But the sentiment today would not... It would not line up with what a realistic expectation is for either person in the job, but Pekka would be met with way more favor just because he played here and people liked him. There'd be people like what you just described yourself pushing back against that, saying just because he played here doesn't mean it's going to work. But, and that the inverse of that is just because we don't like Eric Staal because, you know, he's got one of those faces or something, or, you know, he was the captain of the team that kept you from winning the cup because of Jay McKee's infected, disgusting shin guard or whatever, doesn't mean he's not going to help. But your preconceived ideas are very hard to divorce yourself of, and Pekka would be, oh, that's, I really, you'd be more rooting for it to work than Eric Staal is like, yeah, no, I don't like you. Yeah, I want you to work. I want it to work. I want you to help me, help my team. That would be great, but I'm not a big fan. Whereas Pekka would be the opposite of that, but neither of those opinions
nothing
would matter.
Nothing matters there, right?
No.
Just, yeah. I guess I'm deciding. I feel like I should decide to like this. What business do we have saying we don't like Eric Staal? What did he do that we don't like? Played hard and won? That's
pretty much, yeah.
Is that what we want the Sabres to do? Like, I've said many times, like, there's certain players going all the way back to when I was a kid that it just seemed like were a little bit too hard-edged for the Sabres. They're too good. Too good isn't really fair. There's a certain brand of player that seems that the Sabres just never really tapped into. Like a Roberts, he's a famous example of this. And, you know, we're Zubris. Somebody else is Gary Roberts, right? Like that sort of hard-nosed goal scorer. You know, those are highly paid. Those are stars.
Yeah.
But still, like, I always feel a little bit less than when it comes to the Sabres in this way. And, you know, Eric Staal was one of these guys. And if it can translate somehow to management, okay, that's good. So is Pekka. I mean, he was obviously that type of player too. I don't know.
Not as decorated in his career, but still. Yeah, sure. I mean, Pekka's never won like Staal won. But yeah, I think that's a very good point about the style of that player too. Like just sort of a, what's it going to take? Whatever it's going to take, I'm going to do it. And if that means I got to do something that's even questionable, like, you know, dirty, fine, whatever. I'll do it. We're trying to win the Stanley Cup here.
Here's Dave with us. Hi, Dave.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah. I mean, I think the bigger issue here is I think people see the front office changes and you see the speculation about, you know, Elliot Friedman saying they're looking to potentially bring in some sort of senior advisor. And most Sabres fans are probably done with Kevin Adams at this point. So I mean, I don't think anyone's ever going to love Eric Staal in Buffalo. On paper, you know, makes sense for a lot of roles. He's got a big hockey background. But, you know, I think you see stuff like that and it's just kind of a symptom of frustration with other things at this point.
Yeah, the very appearance of Kevin Adams being a lot. I'm stopping myself. It's patently incredible and absurd that he still has the job, right? Like that, your walking off point for anything they're going to do is him figuring out how to complement what they already have that isn't working and add to it. And he gets to pick one of his oldest friends in hockey to come do a job he's never done before to help Adams do a job he'd never done before when he got the job in the first place after 5 straight years of not making the playoffs. When this year that just finished was coming with all sorts of, I never heard, because you never hear anything other than from Adams or the coach or the players. But like as far as Terry Pegula, there was never an edict about, you know, look out below if you don't get it done this year. But it sure is, you know what, felt like that out here, didn't it? Like, oh, they're going to have to make, they got to do it this year or else. Lindy Ruff is back. And not only did they not do it, they were never even close. They were in third place in the division on Thanksgiving and lost their next 13 hockey games. Nothing changed. Nothing happened. The GM didn't pay any price for it. Instead, he got to hire his friend. What the hell are we even doing here? Like, it's a joke is what all that is. So anything that you're trying to find your way to feel good about, which this segment started with you about 2 minutes ago feeling good, and now I'm over here just pummeling it.
I feel great about that.
But anything that they're going to do that Adams is still in charge of, how in the world do you expect any of us to have faith in any of that? I think it's nearly impossible from a sports perspective, other than just say, well, anything could work. I'm not eliminated yet.
Right.
So maybe, you know, maybe they get the lightning strike goalie year out of Luukkonen or Levi or I don't know, Jake Allen, somebody. They do something. I don't know. And it just works. But sitting here in May, that guy still running the team, it's so hard to invest in a conversation about what could work, what should work, what should they do. He should not have the job. And we're just conditioned to live with it. And it's ridiculous that he still has the job. So I'm all for bring Don Waddell. Come on down. Whoever you get your hands on. I don't know, man. It's 5 years is long enough. It's not like they've been close or just missed. They had the 1 year where they just missed, and then they regressed, and then it got worse. It just does not make sense that the guy still has a job. The LA Kings have made the playoffs 4 years in a row and run into like a duo of superstars each year in the first round and lost. And that dude got fired.
Blake.
Was he fired? Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, they mutually agreed to part ways.
Yes. And he's a legendary player.
Yeah.
For their team. I mean, and Colorado, but Blake.
Yeah. So, I mean, just you look around the league and it, not to say that, you know, I might at times tend to because I'm so passionate about it. And when I get any feeling like this going again, it's almost like I feel alive again because I'm giving you some passion on the Sabres. But it usually means I end up exaggerating to some extent, right? Their reputation in the league, I've mentioned it a lot. And look, I just can't believe that there aren't people laughing at them within the league. That he got to hire his friend from Carolina to come be his special assistant. After these 5 years are his resume professionally as a general manager of a National Hockey League team. And he got to do that today. How in the world does that happen? But here we are.
I know. It just defies explanation that a major league sports team could go these 5 years with these results and not make that move.
Right.
I think the number is three. For me, the number for this is three. You get 3 years, barring really bizarre circumstances. I don't know where you're starting from. Maybe the 14 Sabres. It was three too much to ask 3 years for them to get in? I don't think so, even. Like, I think that should be enough time to meet the middle, right? The playoffs include the teams in the middle.
Yep.
And they've only been close once in 5 years and still missed, so I can't really argue. I would do it. I am happy that in my life, I am not in a position where I have to tell people they don't work for me anymore. That's something that I feel lucky to not, you know, have to do that professionally. But you suck it up. And I would want it. This is when, you know, we're all sort of maybe wondering what Pegula feels or thinks about all this. I would just hate for my reputation to be stagnant with a franchise that we love. And he, when he showed up, clearly exuded the same. I mean, mm-hmm. he was totally believable as pretty much a lifelong fan. And if that were myself, I would hate for people to think that
I don't care about it.
I wouldn't, and I don't say he does. I don't think he doesn't care about it, but I just think sort of practically to go so long without making a change at the top, really Adams is the top, is such a bad look that I would just not have it for myself. And there are counterpoints to that. Loyalty, continuity would be one. There's something to be said for that. Whatever he's built, he is choosing to keep going with. But I don't know. It's just so unusual for a team to go. In hockey, good teams fire coaches 60 games into their seasons. Like, it's so unusual for a team to sit still like this for so long without winning that I would just never want it for myself. I'd have to make this move for my own, you know, pride, I guess, as an owner.
I also don't think that he doesn't care, but it gets said a lot because of every point you just made. And I would also want to, even if I know I care. I would want to show everybody that I care. I would want to make sure you can't say that about me because this means so much to me. And the actions completely defy that. The inaction really defies that. Nothing happens. Nothing changes. He flies in and tells them the answer's in the room, and then they go out and get annihilated by Montreal.
Yeah, what does that say? That happens.
Just nothing. Nothing just like, lines up. Nothing makes sense. It just does.
What a motivator, apparently.
Right.
I believe in you guys. And then,
I mean, did he get their names right when he talked to them? Like, I don't know, man.
Oh, boy. When is that schedule coming out? Lines open for your calls, 803-0550. Paul will join us at 6, like yesterday. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.